Hello and welcome to 93.7 The Quiet Storm. Wait, no. This is Team White. I'm Alex Schlender. I'm here in the coolest state in the Union, in the cradle of all civilization, northeastern Missouri. And with me on the opposite side of the world, way down under in the part that's not called down under, but it still is kind of down under. South Africa, Jan. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey there, Alex. I'm doing fine, thanks.
That's tremendous. And also not with us, but yet not in prison, is the wonderful, mellifluous Allison Chablow, given to believe she has been released from prison for criticizing Jews in song. But they like to leave the ambiguous terms and conditions so that he is free on her own recognizance, but probably afraid to use the internet because any communication would be illegal, something like that. Do you know any better or different on that, Jan, than what I said, Ray Allison?
Alex, I don't know much more except that she got out on conditions. And so obviously silence is a big part of the conditions. So I have no idea if and when she will be able to talk again, but thank God she's out of prison.
Yeah, and we miss her and what she adds to this, but this is how it is. We live in a burgeoning global slave state. But anyway, you already know that, you who are faithful listeners of ours. Now, what we're going to talk about today, this is more or less a special edition where we're going to focus. I can sum up America by saying everything is going downhill at an even more usual. There, that's good. That covers the USA. Some are even saying there's going to be a new lockdown for COVID and that they may try to force vaccines, but whatever, we'll deal with that at a different time. Right now, we want to talk about South Africa being back in the last couple of months with this tremendous outbreak of violence. And we want to hear firsthand from Jan, who is down in South Africa, what the heck is going on, if anything. Jan, we're now at least a week or two after this. Has it completely died out, all the violence that was there? And yes. What was this overall scope of it? How many spots were actually violent out of the whole country?
Okay, Alex. We've been quiet probably for more than 2 weeks. The violence ran from the 9th of July to the 18th of July. By the 18th of July, it was already literally dead and gone. Though I know of one set of incidents that occurred on the 19th. But for all intents and purposes, it was more or less 9 days of violence. Not all of it was equally violent. Some days were pretty quiet. The vast majority of the violence, probably about 80% of the violence and destruction, took place in a period of 3 days. And those 3 days were round about the 12th of July, give or take a couple of days. And in terms of ICE, I don't know what you guys saw, but people were thinking, like I saw something from Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones, he's probably taken a bunch of stuff so that he's probably on steroids or something so that he's got this deep voice and he sounds so manly. But when you actually listen to his commentaries, Alex, he's got this like manly voice.
But he's a buffoon.
but he actually comes across like a girl because he's got like the attitude of a woman. He comes as like, oh, you know, South Africa is burning and everything. And then it's like, ah, oh, South Africa is fucked. South Africa is fucked. Everything's fucked. It's all over.
No, he's a professional, but not as dumb as he acts. But anyway, so who were the rioters? Okay, we've got the scope. We're trying to set the context on the scope here. So how would you characterize the rioters? Were there any non-black? Okay. And if they were all blacks or mainly blacks, what type of blacks compared to other? Because we know there's multiple different types of blacks in South Africa. Were they just all Zulu or what?
Okay, let me sum it up for you. In a nutshell, in a nutshell, what you had is what we are actually witnessing is the breakup, Alex. We are looking at blacks, black communists, who are fighting each other. The black communists are stressing with each other, and they are fighting with each other. The black commies who are in the ruling party, known as the ANC, African National Congress, they have got internal tensions among themselves. And, you know, previously it was the whites are the enemy. Everybody's focusing on the whites. What's happening now is that internally they are fighting with each other. They've got internal power struggles. The internal power struggles, in a nutshell, are focused around the character of Zuma, Jacob Zuma. What makes Jacob Zuma special is that the ANC originally was a Khoza. Khoza being one of the bigger tribes here in South Africa. The ANC was basically a Khoza.
That's the X-H-O.
Yes.
Yes. Khoza is X-H-O-S-A is how, and it's pronounced Khoza, like
yes.
A K.
You pronounce it like a K. So, okay. So dead right, Alex. So it's basically, it was a Khoza-dominated structure. And the one group of blacks that wasn't really in it were the Zulus. And the Zulus are quite interesting because of the German stuff. I'll tell you something about the Zulus, Alex. The Zulus of South Africa are the biggest tribe. The Zulus are somewhat bigger than the Khoisans, and the Zulus are the warriors, okay? The Zulus are like the most violent warriors, and they – if there's a tribe that's, let's call it nationalistic, Zulus are the closest to, I think, of a black nationalist tribe. Now, in the 1960s, the West Germans were obviously looking at a future where there's not much white power. And the West Germans focused on a Zulu prince by the name of Buthelezi. And they thought that by sponsoring this Zulu prince, that this would be the best decision for the Germans in the future, so that they've got some kind of black, you know, strong blacks in South Africa who'll have a future. Anyway, this Zulu prince, Buthelezi, turned out to be a weakling and rather useless. Lots of other whites, also actually whites inside the country, also supported him. In the end, he was a total waste of time. Too weak to really fight communism, okay? But anyway, the Germans sponsored them, hoping something would come out of it. Even the Boers and the whites later in the 1980s also saw the Zulus as a potential black tribe that could be some kind of ally in a future broken up South Africa. But the problem with the Zulus is that they've been courted by the whites at various times, and the Zulus were not interested in communism. So these Zulus ended up being like always fighting. And the Khoisans, by the way, the Zulus and the Khoisans are also traditional enemies. And the Zulus even look down disparagingly on the Khoisans. They don't even regard them as like men. The Khoisans eat fish and stuff. And to the Zulus, it's like you're eating snakes. They look down on them. You know, people think that whites are the only people who are racist. All the other races and peoples are racist themselves. It's only whites who get beaten over it because Jews want to beat whites over it. Okay. But everybody else is racist in their own way. So anyway,
all races hate niggers, including and especially niggers.
And the blacks even hate each other, Alex.
And if we go back, we're getting a bit astray here. We got to sum it up to start and then roll it out. But the Zulu destroyed the people who were in the area the whites came into before the whites arrived. Isn't that correct? There's even a word for it.
Yes, the Mifakani or Difakani. Here where I live in the center of South Africa, yes. 200 years ago, the Zulus genocided all the blacks who lived in the center of South Africa, which the Boers later occupied. But anyway, returning.
Okay. Yeah, but anyway, so the Zulu are the tall, proud warrior people, We can see the movie with Michael Caine. We're all familiar with that. I forget the name of it, but Rourke's Drift or whatever it is. But they don't like the Zoza. And I've never, that's an interesting thing you said, that they look down the way we look down on the Chinese for eating bats and cats and dogs. They look down on the Xhosa, as you pronounce it, for eating fish. I've never heard of anybody look down on for eating fish.
Yes. The Zulus regard fish.
That is funny.
See how weird it is, and it gets crazier, Alex. So the Zulus even regard like fish as being similar to snakes. So these people are eating fish, which is almost like a snake. You know, what kind of low life scum are they?
Do they have a slur for them called fish eaters or something?
I don't know that much detail, Alex. But returning to South Africa, where Zuma comes into this, is the whites tried to then play the Zulus against the ANC. And there was even a time in the 1980s where the white government quietly gave the Zulus weapons. And the Zulus and the ANC had a civil war. And down there in Natal, there was a civil war. It's hardly ever spoken about. No, I've never even come across a proper documentary about it. But the Zulus and the ANC were busy killing each other in that same area of KwaZulu-Natal. And by the way, that is on the coast, on the east coast of South Africa. And so Zulu...
Well, Jan, is ANC a political cover for what? Like, is it mainly Xhosa, or is it mixed? But why would it be at war with the Zulu?
Okay, the ANC originally was just a little political party that was going to talk to the whites. But what happened was when the Jews and the Soviet Union started working against the whites of South Africa, they basically infiltrated this peaceful little political party. It wasn't small. It was like an important party among blacks, but it was peaceful. And they infiltrated it and turned it communist. So they hijacked a peaceful black political party.
Was it a specifically mainly one ethnic group in the ANC originally?
It was dominated by that group, but they allowed other people in. It's just
what
that
group?
It was dominated by the Xhosas.
Okay, so the war between ANC and Zulu is to some degree also an ethnic war as well as political.
Yes, and then
even today.
And then the ANC then became the main communist liberation organization for
yes.
all blacks. Okay, so they then expanded to taking everybody in. And Indians and coloreds also got into it. The ANC became the like alliance against whites. That's what it about the communist alliance against whites. But the only blacks that they were struggling to get in there were the Zulus. Okay. The Zulus were still doing their own thing mostly. And then what happened was this guy called Jacob Zuma, who's a Zulu. He joined the ANC. So here's a lone Zulu in a Xhosa-dominated organization. There's everybody's in this organization except Zulus. And here's this lone Zulu who comes into it. And this lone Zulu becomes a hardcore commie. He becomes a determined warrior for the cause against the whites. And then as time goes by, he manages to function in this let's call it multi-tribal system dominated by Xhosas, and which also has Indians and coloreds. He rises up in this organization and he gains a reputation. And then through him, lots of Zulus start joining the ANC. So finally they get a big chunk of the Zulus supporting the ANC because of Zuma. So Zuma brought a chunk, let's say a third or a half of the Zulus into the ANC to support the ANC, which they previously never did. So that is the role of Zuma. And then Zuma was when Mandela was the president, You had Mbeki as the vice president. There were two vice presidents. One was a guy called Thabo Mbeki, and the other one was Zuma. So Thabo Mbeki became the next president of South Africa. And while Mbeki was the president, Zuma was his vice president. And then what happened was that, and I'm probably the only guy on the right wing, probably the only white even, who really appreciated what happened, because I was the only person who wrote about this at the time. This was around about 2006 to 2008. I began to notice that Mbeki, the president, is actually setting up his vice president to be destroyed. I noticed this, and I was watching how this was taking place. And at a point, eventually, and it started with, oh, he's corrupt, he's this, he's that. And then the next thing is he fires him. And when he fired him, the Jews, by the way, the Jews loved Mandela. The Jews loved Mbeki. They loved him, okay? But so everything Mbeki was doing, the Jews and the liberals, the white liberal scum, they were all supporting it, okay? And then he fired Zuma, and all the white liberals and Jews were absolutely happy. But there was a problem. Zuma was a hardcore commie, and he'd always been loyal. And the communists and the Communist Party, and also the Communist Trade Union, they looked at this and they said, Mbeki's at fault. And so they did an amazing thing. They had the ANC has got an annual meeting, and at this annual meeting, the communists went and they said, we need to get rid of Mbeki and put Zuma in as president. And in South Africa, the ANC as a political party has got a rule that allows them to withdraw their presidential candidate. So the political party suddenly withdraws the president of South Africa. And they say, well, we withdraw this candidate from our political party. He's no longer going to be the president. And we are putting in his place Zuma. I must tell you, Alex, the white liberals and the Jews never saw that coming. They never saw it coming. They couldn't believe their eyes. And when it happened, they were absolutely freaked out by it. So suddenly, the communists put Zuma in as the president back in 2009. And Zuma is the president for the next 9 years or so. And from then onwards, for the first time ever, the Jews and the white liberals are attacking the ANC. But they're only attacking the ANC because of Zuma. Now, here's the secret, is that Zuma is not supported by the Jews, and Zuma struck a deal with rich Indians from India called the Guptas. And the Guptas came to South Africa. They were naughty. They did all their naughty Indian stuff, and they became stinking, stinking rich. And they were basically the financiers for Zuma. And so, as I see it, the fact that Zuma was not financed by the liberal whites and the Jews, that was the real issue. But they don't say that, of course. They just say, oh, he's corrupt, he's corrupt. All of them are corrupt, Alex. All of them are corrupt. It's not just Zuma, but they picked on him because he's not their man. Okay. Anyway, so Zuma was running the country, and all that time, these Jews and liberals are trying to break Zuma down. And eventually they get their new guy in, who's Ramaphosa. And I've mentioned before that I believe that Ramaphosa converted to Judaism. And anyway, they get Ramaphosa in. The moment Ramaphosa's in, then it's, ah, yes, ANC. ANC's great. We love ANC again. The only time they hated the ANC was when Zuma was around. So they didn't like this character Zuma, but there are other people in the ANC who also didn't like this character Zuma, and so forth. So what you're looking at in a nutshell is the breaking up of the political party of South Africa. But Zuma is recognized by the communists, by the war veterans, etc. And of course, war veterans, such as they are, not that they compare with our war veterans, but anyway. So what you're actually seeing here is a split occurring in the ruling party. But at this point, the people aren't trying to break away and form a new political party. Zuma himself supports the ANC and wants to support work with the ANC. So what you've got is two groups trying to jostle for who owns the ANC. That's really what you're looking at here. And so I want to just add another little point, Alex, because this will become important in the years to come. When I started my websites early on, in the early days, and I'd just been going for a year or so, and not many people knew about me, there were some young Zulus who contacted me. And because nobody was talking to me, I said, okay, let me go talk to them. And these young Zulus were very impressed with the opposition, the political opposition in Zimbabwe against Mugabe. So the young Zulus wanted to form an opposition against the ANC. The young Zulus told me an interesting story. They told me that there is a conspiracy going on. And the conspiracy is that the ANC can never have an ANC president who's a Zulu. They told me that definitively, and they said to me, there's no hope for Zulus in the ANC. That's why they need to start another political party. I helped them. The whole thing was a flop, and we parted ways. But that is an interesting thing. So until Zuma became president, when Zuma became president, he's proof that a Zulu can become the president of South Africa. However, Zuma's been treated very roughly. He was treated roughly by Mbeki, and he's now being treated roughly by Ramaphosa. And it's very clear now that there's a whole agenda against Zuma. And Zuma himself has said there's a conspiracy against me, which is most likely true. So this is very interesting because now Zuma's actually, the reason the violence broke out is because Zuma was arrested. So Zuma's people said, we're not going to allow this. Zuma and his close supporters even said that they wouldn't allow him to be arrested. The police, however, did arrest him. Rest assured, there were whites who were very organized who helped to make it happen. So they quickly nabbed him the one day. The mass media lies. They say that Zuma went and handed himself in. He didn't hand himself in. He was going to fight. He had people coming to his home. They were physically going to fight the police. But what happened was he's protected by state security people. There were police. There were police intelligence. Lots of these people are actually white, and they worked secretly, and they quickly nabbed him the one day and dragged him off to the police station, and that's how he got arrested. But even so, his supporters then decided, his top supporters, because there are many people who are in government who are his supporters, they then quietly worked out this plan to do this violence in a way of hitting back at Ramaphosa. So Ramaphosa is the Jew, the black Jew. Zuma is the Zulu communist. Ramaphosa is the black Jew communist. Zuma's the Zulu communist. And what we've got is we've got a struggle between these two figures. And so that is where the violence actually comes from. And many fascinating things could come out of this in the future, Alex. In the future, this could lead to Zulu problems. Zulus, maybe one day Zulus don't want to have anything to do with the ANC. Maybe one day Zulus will even want to break away and secede. These things are future possibilities out of this. So that's just the context of it. With regard to the actual violence, there were a bunch of people. They've been trying to figure out who these people are. Among them was a black guy who was the South African ambassador to Japan. But there were lots of other high-ranking people and people all over. There were cops. There were communists. There were war veterans. All kinds of people who were supporting Zuma. And they quickly and impromptu, and by the way, using phones, by the way, using phones, yeah. they set up groups on phones, and they actually organized the violence. So the original strategy, and it's probably driven by the war veterans, okay? So these old communists then decided, let's go and hit the rich. So, Alex, there's an aspect of this that's actually fun that you and I would approve of, and that is that they went out to hit the quotes rich. And of course, among the people who got hit the worst were Jews. Okay. So, and you know why they said the rich? Because they said that Ramaphosa's supporters are the wealthy, and they're dead right. They're dead right. The Jews and the super rich and the rich white liberals, etc., they are all supporting Ramaphosa. So the plan was hit the rich where it hurts. And they were going to go and attack all these shopping malls and warehouses and stuff. But then they also then started saying, well, the Indians are also rich. So hit the Indian suburbs and hit the whites, the common whites. They're also wealthy. Hit the white suburbs. The majority of the damage that took place was against warehouses and shopping malls. They hit them. They may even have almost wiped out the industrial area of Durban. The damage was unbelievable, was on a scale never seen in the history of South Africa. Not even apartheid. Never in the history of South Africa has anything this big gone down. Okay. They destroyed, they attacked something like 120 shopping malls. Between 40 and 45,000 businesses were damaged, were
Wow.
wiped out. Yes.
I read that and thought it was a typo.
No, it's not a typo. It's serious. Alex,
45,000.
between 40 and 45,000 businesses were damaged or destroyed.
Wow.
They estimate 150,000 people have lost their jobs. The damage in South African money terms is unprecedented in the history of South Africa. It is 50 billion rand, which is almost 10% of our GDP. In US dollars, it's almost 3.5 billion US dollars.
Wow.
It's amazing, Alex. It's amazing. This was fucking big. The blacks
Well,
were.
Jan, did they was there were there any assassinations as part of this, or was it purely commercial attack and looting to punish the richer party or Ramaphosa and hit his
Right.
people where they live?
Now we get into the interesting stuff. Okay. Among the stuff that they also did, they had quite a lot of strategies, Alex. There was a lot of stuff. And they got the masses to come and do looting and stuff. But then among the masses, they had other people who had specific tasks. So once they looted places, they burn the place down. First, they steal everything. Then they burn it to the ground. Okay. And Alex, they did it on a big scale. I've got lots of film footage. And if you want to see the scale of it, I'm just winding up on a video. Alex, I've got almost 4 hours of film footage for you to
Excellent.
watch. You will see this was Alex, this is almost a war in everything but name. The scale of it will shock you. Anyway, 90%, 80%, let's say 80% of the damage was all concentrated in KwaZulu-Natal. So it was in Zulu territory. So it's mostly Zulus, but not completely, but mostly Zulus. Then the next place they hit was Johannesburg. And for me, Alex, they actually hit a bunch of areas around me. They hit Hillbrow, the center of Johannesburg, which is to my east. They did some stuff in Soweto, which is a bit to my west, southwest. They were in Alexandra. They did a lot in Alexandra, which is to my north. However, I personally, in our suburbs, and the topic of the white suburbs is going to be critical in this, I'll explain more. But in a nutshell, the only thing I ever heard and saw was on the Sunday morning, which I think was the 11th. On the Sunday morning, I might have the date wrong, but on the Sunday morning, I heard a lot more sirens than I'd ever heard before. I was like listening and I was thinking, but this is a bit abnormal. This is abnormal, but I was too busy with other things, so I didn't actually worry about it. Then on the Sunday evening, I saw film footage that they'd attacked, that they'd absolutely trashed Hillbrow. Hillbrow used to be like almost like the Bronx or something in New York, where you've got lots of apartments and things. And it used to be whites. Whites used to live there like 40 years ago. I even lived in on the edge of Hillbrow at one time. But now it's totally black and it's a bad place. Okay, very bad. Even I won't go there nowadays. But anyway, they hit Hillbrow and I saw they trashed Hillbrow and there were fires there. So what I did on the Monday was I thought, let me go to a hill near me. I went to a building that's on a high position and I actually took some pictures. And I went onto the and I could look out over Hillbrow and I could zoom in and I took some pictures, but I didn't see any smoke or anything. Little did I know that on that Monday, when I was out taking pictures, that Monday was the worst day of the lot. And yet I was driving around and everywhere was fine. And I've got the pictures to prove it. The pictures will be in another video. But I didn't see a damn thing. We in our suburbs, the white suburbs, or the mostly white suburbs, we didn't see a damn thing. So this gets to be interesting. There were other things going on. The blacks did go to gun shops and they did wipe out a couple of gun shops and they stole all the guns. There's also a very bizarre incident where the police were looking after a container of 1 million rounds of more than 1 million rounds of ammunition. It's like 1.2 million rounds of ammunition. And somehow the police lost it and these people picked it up. Now, one of the possibilities that I will tell you is that among the police, there were no doubt sympathizers. So it's very possible that a whole bunch of these things were planned. So they would have gotten some firearms. We don't know how many. And they did get 1.2 million rounds of ammo. Though 1.2 million rounds of ammo is not the end of the world. Let me tell you, whites are big gun owners in South Africa, and whites regularly use up probably 2 million rounds of ammunition, like in every 6 weeks or so. Okay. Whites are big shooters here. So don't think that 1 million rounds is the end of the world. We actually bring in bigger amounts just for hunting and practice shooting. So anyway, but anyhow, that's basically what happened. But where it got interesting, so now we're going to get into like the military aspect, and this is very interesting, Alex, because now we're getting to race war stuff. You remember I've mentioned to you guys like the people who like believe in this Christian prophet Sinner van Rensburg and
Oh
all
yeah,
that,
oh yeah.
right? So where this really comes into play is the whole Sinner van Rensburg type scenario, because this is where these people say, oh, the blacks are going to come and they're going to come in these vast numbers and they're just going to kill everybody. Like in Johannesburg, everybody will die in Johannesburg. We'll all die there. The blacks are just going to come. They're just going to swarm all over us. We'll die. And I've told people that that's a load of bollocks. Okay. That is a load of shit. It does not match military fact, military and real fact. And I've said before that if things go down, and things get nasty, you're going to see all whites defend themselves. You're going to see whites who are not right wing and they're going to defend themselves. Well, Alex, what happened in Natal is better than I thought. Okay. So here in a nutshell is where the blacks, let me tell you where the blacks succeeded and where the blacks failed. The blacks succeeded when they went after the massive shopping malls and warehouses. You would have thought that with the rich having the money for security services, all kinds of security measures, you would have thought that they would be able to protect the shopping malls and the warehouses and the industrial areas. But they didn't. And the blacks swarmed all over them, tore everything to pieces. When you see all the film footage, Alex, it's like a fucking war has just taken place. You won't believe how smashed things were. They tore everything up. They were ripping out ATMs. The damage they did is beyond imagination. Okay, so the wealthy, the scum sucking pigs, the white elite, traitors, Jews. They took it straight on the chin, Alex. Now, in those big shopping malls, most of the businesses in there are big corporate businesses owned by the fucking rich, etc. They got wiped, man. Banks got smashed. Everything got smashed. But there are some businesses, a couple of businesses, not that many, that were owned by whites that did take heat. Okay. So you'll find that whites might own a gun shop or a takeaway or something like that, but not many. Another place where whites took hits was a lot of whites are into trucking, and the blacks also cut off roads and they burned 45 big trucks. Okay, so there are whites who took losses there. The blacks mostly were able to damage the shopping malls, and they also, ironically, especially in Johannesburg, they hit areas where they live. Okay, they destroyed the infrastructure in the area where they live. They destroyed the shops and the shopping malls in the black townships, but they couldn't quite get out to some of the other places. Though tomorrow I want to get in my car, there's an area I want to drive to where they might have bust out of a township. I want to see if I can get some film footage tomorrow. I'll go and have a look. That might be the only place that's not in a township that I might be able to find. I have a reason to believe that. But otherwise, especially in Johannesburg, they couldn't do the damage in Johannesburg that they did in Natal. Okay. So we were carrying on like normal. Okay. We were carrying on. I've gone to all the places. We hardly even suffered any shortages. I only saw, and there was one shortage for 2 days, but it wasn't to do with the violence. It was to do with lockdown, actually. Other than that, all the shops are full. Everything carries on as normal. For us in Joburg, we didn't see a fucking thing, okay? But in Natal, it was wild. It was a freaking war. So the blacks damaged lots of things in their areas. But then they had been told that they must also go and attack the Indians and attack the whites. Now, from what I can understand, Alex, 337 people died. Of the 337, I have asked and asked and asked and looked around. I've not found a single instance of a white person who died. Not one white died. Okay.
Good.
I think as there's at least three Indians were killed. I don't know if any coloreds died. It's very possible that maybe no coloreds died, that the vast majority, almost exclusively, all the deaths were blacks. Okay. So the blacks are attacking, but the biggest death toll is blacks. So how did the blacks die? That's where it becomes a bit of a mystery, but there's interesting stuff. So the one place where the most violence took place, the most killing took place, was in a suburb to the north of Durban called Phoenix. Phoenix is by the way, Alex, all the suburbs and townships that were created under apartheid still exist. And most of the inhabitants that were put there under apartheid are still pretty much the same. So you get places like Phoenix and Lanasia in Johannesburg, which are townships for Indians that were created under apartheid, and most of the population is still Indian to this day. And the black townships are still black mostly to this day. So Phoenix was 82% Indian. Blacks went into Phoenix and blacks got killed. Okay. Now the Phoenix is a game changer, Alex. The Indians, as you know, your Indians that I've seen in North America, in the United States and Canada, your Indians there are precisely the same as the Indians here. Same attitude, they're business people, they're nerds. They are basically like black Jews. They're always busy wheeling and dealing. But there is one slight difference, is that a lot of the Indians here are also Muslims. But Indians generally are geeky. Indians generally don't like guns. Indians generally don't hunt. They don't hunt. They don't like to shoot, etc. But it appears that there were Indians who even had some security companies, and some Indians had some kind of weaponry. And when the blacks came to attack the Indians started killing blacks. That is a total game changer. It's never happened in South Africa. Never happened. Black Indians have never killed blacks before. It's unique even in Africa. Indians have never physically gone and killed blacks before, but they did it in Phoenix. They killed at least 36 blacks, though in one report I read, they said the cops went outside into the bush outside Phoenix. On the one day, they found 30 dead blacks. On the next day, they found 15 dead blacks lying in the bush. And but now they say, oh, the number's less. But it looked to me, it looked like from the initial reports, it looked like the Indians had killed at least 50 blacks, at least. So the blacks and Zulus of all, can you believe, are now acting like crybabies. They're like, oh, our people were massacred. They were massacred by the Indians. And it's funny. Now the Indians are going to take heat for this, but the Indians killed blacks, and that's a fucking first.
And Jan, the numbers there sound like they approached Sharpeville, which is one of the major propaganda news items they would always use back in the day when they were trying to get rid of apartheid.
Dead right. Dead right, Alex. Dead right. It's the numbers are close to the numbers of Sharpeville. Can you believe it? And it's Indians. No whites were involved. And it gets nastier because it looks like some were shot. It seems like the Indians even had pangas. And I've got some video film footage of this. There are Indians walking around with pangas. Among the dead blacks that they found, some of the dead blacks were shot dead. Some had gunshot wounds and panga wounds. And there were blacks who were found who'd been cut up with pangas. And it looks to me like it was Indians who did it.
Yeah, panga is like a South American machete here, I think you could say.
Sorry. Yeah, I should call it a
It's a
machete.
broad, flat, heavy knife.
Yes, it's almost like a kind of a sword. It's quite long. It's about 2 feet long. So it's nastier. It's nastier than just a knife. So
Yeah.
and by the way, Alex, I've got film footage. Listen to this. I've got film footage. Indians went and counterattacked the blacks and burned down a black squatter camp. They set it on fucking fire. Can you believe that? Again, a
Wonderful.
total first, a total first. So when the blacks get
Whites used to do that in the US to protect themselves from blacks.
interesting.
And they need to do it again.
Alex, I'm not differing with you. Okay. So in a nutshell, when the blacks got to Phoenix, the blacks got fucked up by the Indians. And I've got the film footage. You won't believe some of the stuff you're gonna see. So anyway, so that's the one place. Then in other places, the whites and the Indians in other places worked together. There were also coloreds. Coloreds also came out with their guns and they defended their areas. Looks to me, from what I can pick up, looks to me like the coloreds kept the blacks away, and it looks like the coloreds suffered no damage. Coloreds are more aggressive than the Indians and the blacks. Coloreds are much tougher, mixed race. They're more like the whites. So it could be that coloreds walked out of this with no scratches on, more or less. Then there were whites and Indians in some places who functioned together, physically armed. Whites and Indians fighting together, driving blacks away. That succeeded. Then the blacks tried to get into the white suburbs. Alex, I've got film footage where whites defended the suburbs, whites blocked off the roads, and it seems to me no blacks got into any of the white suburbs. It seems to me the only losses the whites suffered were the losses of trucks, the losses of in shopping malls. And the other thing the blacks did was they went and they set fire to white farms. And because it's winter season and dry, there were lots of fires. No whites were killed on the farms, but I know that one white family had to be evacuated by helicopter because they couldn't get out of their farm. It was on fire. So farmers suffered damage. But Alex, it appears to me that no damage was suffered in the white suburbs, and the blacks couldn't even get in The whites stopped them dead in their tracks. But I'm still busy doing research, and I've still got other people to talk to. So in a couple of weeks' time, I'll have much more definitive information. But
okay,
that is
that's
the
an
impression
excellent
I get.
Summary. Jan, are you going to put out the original, unique, unseen video you have with this team white, or are you going to do it separately, or how are you going to put it out so the people know?
I've already prepared it separately because it's so huge. Alex, it's hours. Mm-hmm. It's hours of viewing. So,
and no one's seen this, right? This is you shot it yourself.
No, I didn't shoot this myself.
Oh, okay, I misunderstood.
This is what I did. Was there were hundreds of pieces of film footage around. I gathered about 200 out of more than 300 pieces of film footage,
and I collated and organized material that was shot. Did the material appear on commercial channels there, or where did you find it?
There is some that came on commercial channels, but I've got lots of raw stuff that did the rounds on phones, on Twitter, etc.
Excellent. Okay.
So there's tons of raw stuff that you can see, but I've kept some of the worst and most exciting of it separate for another video, but I've collated.
Excellent. But you will put that out in. And I will post the link to it on Kirksville today when it comes out for all you listening.
Definitely. And Alex, I urge you to just browse through it. You will see wild, wild, crazy shit.
I definitely want to see it. Well, Jan, I think we got to wrap up here fairly quick, but I wanted you to give our listeners a few minutes of what you think the ramifications of this massive amount of looting and killing and new sets of social interactions, let's say. What's going to come from all this?
Alex, let's focus on the racial stuff. The first excellent, excellent good news, Alex, is that as I have suspected all along, and as I've said to you, when whites are under threat, whites will fight for their existence. That's exactly what they did. And Alex, the whites were so good. Do you know that the police were hiding away in the police stations while whites and Indians were running around fighting the blacks and beating them off? Do you know that whites were even giving the police ammunition? The whites had the ammunition. And I heard all kinds of stuff from buddies of mine. There was one guy told me about a white man who went and bought immediately. It was so wild. He went and bought 300,000 rands worth of ammunition, which in your money is more than $20,000 worth of ammunition. He went and bought that in one day. And other whites were coming to him, and he sold it all off. There were other whites who ran out of ammunition, and they called in an aircraft. Somebody flew ammunition into them and they grabbed the ammunition. Another guy told about how he and some people were at a roadblock. They were armed and waiting for the blacks. Another white guy comes driving by on a motorbike, stops and says to them, "By the way, do you have enough ammunition?" And the guys say, "Yeah," but the guy pulls out 12 gauge shotgun ammunition, chucks it to the other white guy, says, "Here's some for you," and he drives off. The whites, the whites had ammunition. The whites were running around. The whites were stopping it. I've even got film footage where whites were watching blacks coming into their suburb. They got a chainsaw. And they fucking cut down a fucking tree, and you see the tree falling across the road, and the whites say to the blacks, "You're not coming in. We've blocked you. Fuck off. You're not touching our buildings." Alex, it was fantastic. It was fantastic. But the whites know the law very well, so the whites didn't do wild stuff. We will later discuss the actual killing, but whites used a combination. Often the whites and the Indians had to use like paintball guns and things to fight off the blacks. But even so, remember, the whites and blacks did not per se, the whites and Indians did not per se go out to specifically kill blacks. They went to great lengths to not kill them, but even so, they ended up killing bunches of them. And we don't know exactly how many they killed themselves, but Alex, the whites came out of this fucking perfect. The cops were useless. The army came in the last, and the army did the least. The whites and the Indians and the coloreds were on the ball, and they were fucking up the blacks. And in terms of can whites survive racial attack? You fucking betcha. And another thing about the whites of Natal is that the whites in Natal are the most outnumbered whites in South Africa. The white population there, compared to the blacks, is even lower than the normal. So those whites, the most outnumbered whites in South Africa, fucking whacked the blacks and defended their property like you cannot believe.
Nice.
So,
Very happy to hear that.
it was fucking awesome. And Alex, there's so much we can learn from this, because now there's so much that we actually know from actual experience. Then the other beautiful thing is the whole fight between the Zulus and the blacks. We've got brand new racial tensions. I assure you that this is only going to get worse. The Indians are going to get pissed off with the blacks. The blacks are going to get pissed off with the Indians. And I think this is a festering wound. This could lead to new shit, Alex. Really, I must tell you. And what a game changer. This is all these complications. Whites didn't cause any of this. We didn't cause any of this, but this is going to work for us. And before we go, final note to you. Just as a quick note, we must touch on this as well. You remember last year I was talking about the war in Mozambique?
Yes.
The war in Mozambique, the black government's taken more than a year to even prepare troops to go to Mozambique. The blacks are now quietly starting to fight in Mozambique. South Africa's got military vehicles that they've just sent off. Alex, between the war in Mozambique and this Zulu thing, we have got wonderful, incredible stuff that's coming to Southern Africa. Alex, this stuff is going to help us. It's going to help us as whites, like you cannot believe. New racial tensions and black governments who are struggling. It's all good news. All good news.
Yeah, that's a fantastic report. That's firsthand from Jan in South Africa. And I want to say, to me, it's up the minute whites start to fight, they win.
Alex, we stand such a chance. We stand ch such a chance, all of us. We must stand up for ourselves. We can do amazing things. And here were whites, Alex. These weren't right-wing whites. These were just normal whites. But all their natural instincts came out, and they just fucking handled it. And I will show you physical film footage in the video after the next one. You'll see it for yourself.
Wonderful. And we want to thank everybody for listening today. Whites prefer ordnung, order, and that makes them Hitlers, say the Jews. But all it is a preference for order over disorder. And that's how we live, and that's how we roll, as those idiots always say. And we are going to live among our own kind the way we want to live. And that is what Team White is all about. So thanks to Jan. Thanks to you listening and spreading this. But thanks to Jan for a firsthand account of some of this remarkable, I'm going to say, violence in South Africa and what it might mean for the future. And we at Team White will be back with you again real, real soon.
And thank you very much, Alex. These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pyville.net. That's his Twitter type of website. www.vnnforum.com. You'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff.
So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.